2024-09, Lorraine Brown.
This is a standard subdivision to divide 4.57 acres plus or minus into two single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing Sussex County. The property is lying on the east side of Victory Lane, a private lane that is accessed off of Shawnee Road, which is Rep 36. The 911 address is 12559 Victory Lane, Greenwood, and the tax parcel ID is District 430, Map 5, Parcel 5.02. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment information. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99 9C response. And I would note that in total, we've received four letters, which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Miller. For the record, you can give us your name, sir. You may have the floor.
Before we do that, before he gives the name, so Mr. Miller's handed up some things. There is a 10-day rule for submitting documents to the commission. Looking at these, it looks like, you know, and the reason we do that so everybody has an opportunity to review them. However, these appear to be paper copies of things that are already in the record, so, yeah. So that's fine. I would ask Mr. Miller in the future, though, to make sure you have enough copies to give one to Mr. Whitehouse so that
he has everything he sent.
Okay, all right. So we just need to make sure that it's part of the legal record on this. So thank you.
Am I subject to a time limitation?
You're subject to whether I think you need to be limited, but there is not a set time limit. If you get too redundant, I might stop you, but we tend to give a great deal of leeway to...
I should not be more than 15 minutes, I don't
okay.
know. My name is Don Miller. I'm a land surveyor, and our firm, Miller Lewis, did the subdivision for Mrs. Lorraine Brown. The subdivision itself is classified as a major subdivision, which we were sent a number of sheets to cover certain aspects of the. So I'll go through that first. The question or the observation of the integration of the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. This is a one-lot subdivision. It's on about a 2,200-foot road, which serves about 10 homes that come off of Shawnee Road. Two of those 10 homes are right at the entrance, so there's very little use of the road for those two homes. The question was asked about the minimal use of wetlands and floodplain. According to the National Inventory Map, there are no wetlands on this property, and the FEMA map indicates that there is no floodplain on the property. As far as preservation of natural and historic features, the existing trees there are to remain. They may remove some brush, but the trees themselves would stay. There was a question about the preservation of open space and scenic views. Well, the very first picture that I gave you is from the county overhead map. You can see this. That it is a nice setting there, not to be disturbed except for a new home that would go on the lot that is being asked for. The open space would remain except for this new home, and the scenic view is certainly going to remain as it is. There's a question about minimization of trees, vegetation, removal. There's no plan to remove any trees, and certainly the changes in grade aren't going to be occurring because there's no new street there. There'd be some grading around the new home, but it would be minimal as far as grade change is concerned. There was a statement about screening of objectionable features from neighborhood properties. Well, there is, as you can see on that drawing, an existing buffer strip that is there and will remain. The site will have an on-site water well as well as on-site septic system. Question about prevention of pollution or service of groundwater. Well, there are no new streets, so there will not be any vehicles or no oil. Question about minimization of erosion and sedimentation and discharges into groundwater and whatnot. Conservation District requires a standard plan for when you construct a new home, and that will certainly be observed. Question about provision of safe vehicular and pedestrian movement. Well, there are no new streets, there are no new sidewalks, so that question is self-answered. Effect on rural property values, I would say there would be no effect. It's a rural setting. Preservation of conservation or farmland, well, there's no tilled area on the property. Effect on schools and public buildings and communities. There are no children of school age that are there now or will be. The average daily traffic increase will have absolutely zero effect on the state highway. The traffic that is there now does not really increase at all. Mrs. Brown proposes to cut out a lot for her daughter who lives there now, so that vehicle traffic actually remains the same. There's a question about compatibility with other area land uses. Well, it is a farming community, and one home on this 5-acre piece won't have any effect on that at all. And the last thing had to do with effect on waterways. Well, there really is no waterway effect. The nearest water source is quite a distance away, the Nanticoke Ditch, as it is called. The Planning and Zoning Commission had written a denial letter, and I wanted to go through some of the things. I really feel as if some of these items weren't investigated fully. access to the property is known as Victory Lane. Victory Lane does not meet the Sussex County design requirements as said in here, but it's about a 16-foot wide road. Cars can pass on it without it getting off of the shoulder. It's consists of millings and gravel. Someone is maintaining it. It's very well maintained. It's a little bit like running over a washboard. You can't get up to high speeds on it, but it's a nice road. Mrs. Brown has already offered to enter into a maintenance agreement with other persons that use that road if that's what they would like to do. She's not against that at all. The question came up about access. This ownership and right of access to Victory Lane is not clear. I've gotten ahead of myself just a little bit. I did want to mention about the number of residences on that road. I included in that packet there two recorded subdivision plats that our firm's familiar with. There may be many more. I didn't do a research on what other places in the county might have more than 10 lots on an unimproved road. But in one of the plats that's labeled Hampstead has a Chaser Lane there. It's a recorded plat, and it serves 11 lots. And hadn't been very long since you all approved the second one, the Savage and Connor subdivision on Blue Heron Drive, and that has 14 lots on that road. There's a drawing of a 1977 survey done by Gene Littleton that shows Victory Lane on it. It wasn't named Victory Lane at that time, but Victory Lane has been in existence for a long time. On that 1977 plot, if you'll take a note, take a look at it, there's a highlighted area way in the back. And that highlighted area is Mrs. Brown's parcel. And that parcel used to belong to Seaford Construction Company. And I had included also, there's a deed in that packet, in the last pages of that. And I wanted to look at the codicil on that deed where it specifically states that Seaford Construction had access, ingress and egress, use of that private road to the Green Milford Highway. And so she's had an okay to use that access for 65 years or more. It certainly hasn't happened overnight. The traffic on the road of Victory Lane itself, as I mentioned, it really is not going to increase. But there was also discussion about the trucks that serve the chicken farm. If you read it without knowing about the number of chicken houses, it almost sounds as if there are maybe 8 or 10 chicken houses on that last property. There's only 2 chicken houses. It doesn't make for a great deal of traffic at all. There was a question about the requirement of a vegetated buffer zone. That waiver should have been allowed. It's confusing as to whom is serving whom. About 2 or 3 months ago, I had a client that wanted to build within about 25 feet of a operating chicken house. And planning and zoning turned it down because they felt as if the rule was you can't have a lot line within 50 feet of a chicken house. That's not the way that reads. The chicken house is the subject matter of a new line. If the chicken house wanted a new line, it would have to be 50 feet, not the persons that are acquiring the land. They want to live right next to the chicken house, that should be their prerogative. I feel the same thing is true about this buffer strip. It's next to a farming area. She's already granted a 50-foot setback, but as far as requiring vegetation, more vegetation, there's a wooded buffer, as you can see in that plat already. So it should have been allowed, but we won't press that, but if you could allow that not to have to plant more trees, it certainly would be appreciated. One item, which was a little bit discouraging to me, the Arthur, Ms. Lepore, wrote in here, she said, I am not satisfied at the requirement.
Mr. Miller, I'm going to ask you to stop right there a second, because you seem like you have a misunderstanding of this process. That letter was issued by staff summarizing the motion that was made by the Planning and Zoning Commission to deny Ms. Brown's application based on the record that was presented to us. I think we all appreciate that there's more information that's being presented today, but we had to act on the record that was presented during that public hearing, and there was a lot of substantial information that was lacking. So you keep referring to Ms. Lepore's letter.
I don't keep, I just won this one time. I don't keep referring to it.
You've said it a couple times at the staff's letter. It's the commission's motion. So if you would keep that in mind, that was based on the record made during the public hearing and not something that staff did.
But the letter doesn't say the commission. The letter says I.
That's
that gives the reader the implication that you guys didn't get to make the decision. It was made by a member of the staff.
I'm not going to argue with you.
No, I'm not arguing.
You've been doing this long enough, Mr. Miller, to know how this works, that it's a commission motion that they're reporting to you. So let's move on.
Item 8 in the objection had to do with there were too many issues to prevent an approval. And I feel that I have covered those items that were questionable. And I can only ask you to give that consideration. It hasn't been but just a few years ago, a major subdivision was defined as a new street with stormwater management, four lots out of a major, out of a parent track. Somehow or the other, that's gotten, if it's one more lot than four out of a major, or one more lot than four off of a private road. I don't know how things developed that way. I had ask for a change, redefining of the word major subdivision so that some of these folks could get a break on it. Mrs. Brown had to pay $1,000 for an application because it was classified as major, one lot. And that got turned down, and now she spent another $3,000 because she feels she's in the right to develop her land. And I think she's correct in being able to have that attitude too. I think the negative responses have been reviewed here, and I can only ask you for fair play. Decision. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Butler. Okay, Mr. Collins.
No questions from me, sir.
Okay.
Well, I guess my question would be for council that do we have a clear understanding? Because that, for me personally, was the biggest issue about the access back to this property with the easement. There was no information on that before. There was no clear cut. So I'm going to defend planning and zoning on the decision that we made, at least my position, for the denial. So I guess in looking at this now is the highlighted section is, I'm sure you have to review it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There's a lot more information, and this is helpful to have this time around because we didn't have that last time. I would like some time to review it. I note that also it looks like they provided a deed, and as Mr. Miller stated, that's to the Seaford Construction Company, which was the predecessor entitled to this property, that references the right to use what's now Victory Lane. So, you know, we didn't have that before, and that was part of the problem. And we had a lot of opposition that talked about whether or not there was the right to use that lane and maintenance and stuff like that. So, again, the information that's been provided this time is a lot more helpful than we had the first time around, but I would like a chance to review
right.
it.
We're not trying to deny somebody the use of their own property. It was just the information was not there. So I don't have any other questions at this time.
Okay, Mr. Mears?
No questions, sir.
Okay, staff, anything? Okay.
None for me, thank you.
Counselor?
No, none for me, just other than what I said. It's just helpful to have the additional information about that easement.
Okay.
I would like to hear just maybe if there's, which we're going to get to, any public comment.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Miller, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2024-09 Lorraine Brown? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2024-09? Yes, sir, come on up. Wait till you get to the microphone and give us your name and... Oh, you turn back on. There you go.
My name is Doug Kramer. I'm the west adjacent property owner to this, which is considered Victory Lane. Victory Lane on that 1977 document goes back to the corner before that lane continues on into that farm. So look at that closely, because at that curve, there is a monument in the ground that states from there to the existing Shawnee Road. That was the easement access given by the Carlisle family to the people back in the properties. The Victory Lane that continues on is on private property and was intentionally put in there to serve the land, which was all together at one time for the farm. The Seaford company that owned the two parcels, there was two lotted parcels. They were granted access, which gave Ms. Brown the access to Victory Lane on that private road. Adding a subdivision at that point, that creates extra houses accessing that private road, which wasn't 65 years of use by those particular dwellings. And my thing is, where does the easement go? Do they continue adding? Can you add 20 houses wherever you want and not improve that, and it has to come onto my land where the road is established and it's not on the property line, it's off. I've got some land in front that was already, trees were taken down, the buffer zone was gone from that last subdevelopment where that lotted out piece is, and there's a house put there now. So we have now a view of open area instead of trees, which we would rather have trees. And I'm gonna have to replant trees there to create that buffer again. So with this happening, people are gonna be coming onto that lane that I'm maintaining, and I am maintaining the lane. It's me. I bought a tractor, I drag it. The only reason it's in good shape is because I've been out there for hours doing it myself. There's no agreement. I just do it for my establishment and my family. They reap the benefits, I'm fine with that. And I'm also okay with the people coming on the private lane that had previous rights to it. It's just adding more traffic onto that private lane. When does it stop? I mean, can she put a lane in up to that other point on her property to subdivide? That'd be my question, is why does it have to affect my land? That's really all I got.
Can you show us on the screen what portion of the lane is on your property?
The original 77 document comes to this point, all right? And then from here back to the farm was all for this land that was owned by one J.R. Campbell, okay? And then this land was Seaford, construction. Had two parcels on it, which is kind of why I figured, okay, easement for there. I questioned that, but I didn't get any answers anyway. But these two parcels, okay, they had two parcels anyway. I'm good with that. But you start adding more houses into there. Now they have to come on here, which if you actually had a zoomed-in view, there's at least probably 15 to 20 foot of area over here that goes across. It doesn't go. Victory Lane is actually over here. It's got a lot of area there that just got cleared and maintained. Instead of just maintaining access for this property, they cleared all this area here, and now my view is of the skyline instead of the woods. So the other side of that is I lost land because of their access. This lane is not on the property line, and it's completely on my property.
Do you agree that the easement as it exists today, provides access to the area that is in the yellow rectangle?
It provides access to that individual home there because of its grandfathered in.
No, that's not what I'm asking you.
Okay.
I'm asking if it provides access to that parcel, because it appears to me that it does. It doesn't matter how many homes are there. It matters to access to that parcel, and, well, and that's what I'm trying to determine.
Okay, my question would be, if you're subdividing and this lien is completely on another property, shouldn't they have a lien going into their property from the nearest point of access?
That's a great question. That's a great question, and that's where I'm kind of headed with this discussion.
We could talk about stuff like that, but we haven't been approached.
Yeah, but what you're saying and what the drawing seemed to indicate is that the access does not continue all the way the length of that property. It only runs up to where there was a marker.
In that 1977 document,
right?
It comes to here.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Mr. Kramer, so on the right side of that road, you're saying that you own the land on the right side of the road also?
I own the land on the left side, this 1.6 acres.
I'm referring to the line I'm looking at here. See where the pink lines are to the right of the road? And I know it's not exact, but.
Now, if you came out and saw the survey marks, you would see at least 15 to 20 feet here. And then it stays wide, and then starts to narrow up till it's actually closer to the lane on this point here.
But who owns that piece on the right side where it's 15 feet?
The right side is Lorraine's kinfolk. I don't know their name.
Okay.
All right.
That was subdivided out also.
I'm trying to figure out how far up that lane runs, how far up that easement goes. I mean, is it?
That's one of my questions. I think that 1977 document shows it to this point by what I've researched. That's, you know.
Okay.
So you're suggesting that that piece of land that belongs to one of the applicants can, that when it was part of this other parcel, the road basically terminated where it met with that, when it was connected
down
before?
Down here, originally.
Yeah.
Originally looked
like what you're saying.
Looks like the purpose was to put this lane in on to access this property.
Let's zoom out again.
Yeah.
You could zoom out again.
Because if you read that 77 document, it's talking about this, which was Carlisle land, up to a point, and there's a stake right there that centerlines that lane for the 25 foot width and everything that's supposed to be allowed for it. That's all documented. From there back is not.
Okay, that's the question I was asking, is where, and I don't know, and I may have to ask the applicant again to give us their opinion of that. But anyway.
But you're saying that the access road is, what she's using now is on your property?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. If she has a legal right to use it, she's got a right to use it. Doesn't matter where it is. Could be through his living room, and she would still have a right to use it. So, yeah.
That was established way back.
That piece of it doesn't bother me. That's what I'm trying to figure out, and my concern is that nobody really knows, and you know, that's the issue. Okay, so. Anyway, thank you. I'm good if you're good. You have anything else you wanted to say, or are you done? Okay. All right. Thank you. Before we go on, Mr. Miller, could you come up and indicate to us what your thought is about what's going on here as far as that easement access goes? Because we're really struggling with it, how it gets to the to that ground that is within that yellow rectangle. How does it really get there?
It is true that the Littleton survey, as far as that 25 foot only goes to the point that that gentleman pointed out.
Okay.
But regardless of that, the deed granting access would have to go beyond that. You could have more than 0 feet for access.
But is that deed for the parcel that's outlined there, or is that deed for the entire parcel? Because it looks like that corner was cut out at some point. And what may have happened inadvertently is that there was really no provision made to access the larger parcel when that was cut out of there. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
The road went on beyond this property.
Well, I know
anywhere along that whole entire frontage should be allowed access.
I know the road goes beyond it, but we're trying to determine who's got the right to use it. You know, it looked like from the 77 survey that the right to use it terminated at before you get to this triangle here. And in the absence of any other document telling us anything else to the contrary, unless there's a deed that goes with this property as it is shaped today, you know, I mean, that would be, that makes some reference to it. I mean, this is why this is so complicated. You know, I understand you're not happy with the way things have gone. I appreciate that, and I'm sure that your client is not happy either, and I don't think any of us are. But we're trying to figure out a way to do this without creating more problems than we already have.
It does look like, you know, Mr. Chairman, when that prior subdivision happened, they should have solved that issue then. And we're left with that issue.
Yeah, I understand.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
We're trying not to perpetuate that and add another future issue.
All right. I appreciate where you're coming from. And I want to go ahead and see who else wants to speak. So, okay, who's next? I saw another hand over here. Yes, ma'am, come on up.
Push that again.
No, you're good.
Okay. Well, we had gone over this
your
before.
Name is?
Connie Holmberg. And I have the chicken farm.
Okay.
My main concern is, you know, it is a 50-foot setback from lands used for agriculture. She
right.
can't be. But I do not want my property destroyed like Doug had his done. All of a sudden, the woods taken out and another entrance put in. That I do not want. And when we had come down and talked to planning and zoning earlier, they said, well, if she's going to have a subdivision, it has to only be one lane going in there. It has to be paved, and she can make her own streets in there. Because if you're going to have a subdivision, that's how you do it. You can't have multiple streets going in. I mean, that just
right.
destroy that lane.
Well, no one is going to be allowed, no one's allowed to do anything on your property. So you don't
well,
have to worry about anything.
You asked Doug. His woods were taken out, and all of a sudden they were taken out so
well,
they could put that house in.
If that's the case, perhaps it was done illegally, and you can, need to pursue whatever remedy that there is available to you. I mean, apparently it happened quite a while ago.
A couple years ago when that other house was put in. But I do not want that to happen on my property because we have a beautiful lane going back in. I don't want my trees taken out because that's one reason we bought back there.
This body will not authorize anyone doing that. If somebody does it, somebody does it. But we're not certainly authorizing anyone to do any work on property that they don't own and control.
Well, that's what happened previously. And
I understand.
I want to just make caution that they can't do that to mine.
Okay.
So thank you for
You're
listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir.
I'm the other half to Connie.
Okay.
And
your name is?
Harold Holmberg.
Okay.
My conflict with all this is the 50-foot buffer. That is an ordinance, as I understand, for agricultural land. If she moves in where she's plotting to put another trailer there, it's going to narrow that buffer down. And then all of a sudden, we could be getting complaints about noise. We could be getting complaints about smell.
You're covered by the Right to Farm Act, so you don't have to worry about any of that.
But once it's done, it's done. So that's why we're really
I don't think we have any, you know, the ordinance says what it says.
Okay.
We're not in the habit of just granting exceptions. That there's a whole process for that. But it's not us. They don't come to us for that. They'd have to go to somebody else. So we would not be granting that, because that's not what we do.
Well, thank you.
And the site plan also shows that it's not a 50-foot buffer like we think of. It has to be planted. I mean, there is a perimeter buffer requirement, but it's actually a 50-foot separation or setback from agriculture uses, and that is shown on their site plan. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's something that they've provided and we'd require anyway. So
you were there first, and you're protected by the, you know, Delaware's a right to farm state, so you're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
You know, chickens, if people complain about smell, I think kind of smells like money.
It depends on who it is.
Okay, who's next? Anybody else like to speak? Okay, anyone on the commission have any questions? Some over here?
I'd like to speak.
Okay, sure, come on up. I know you're the applicant, but that's fine. She didn't speak previously, so we're gonna let her speak.
Excuse me, I got a bad cold, but I'm still trying to figure out how, if...
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but I need you to give us your name on the record, please.
I'm sorry, Lorraine Brown.
Okay, Ms. Brown.
I'm trying to figure out how is me, my... it's all confusing to me. I'm trying to figure out how he's saying that they cut down trees when it was brushed on the trees. I know they cut down with some along the side. So it wouldn't be so many in that lot, inside that square lot there, that's already cut out. So, and then if he said I don't have access to the lane, I have another neighbor whose house is further, their lane is further past mine. And it's behind Doug in their house, Mr. J.R., where he was living. He subdivided his land, and he got a front entrance, and he got a side entrance as well. So, what's the difference?
I understand your question, and it's a good question, and that's why there are, you know, there are legal concepts that support what you're saying. You know, that unfortunately it's sort of beyond what this group is able to do. You know, we are bound and governed by the ordinances that we have. And this is exactly the situation that led up to the denial last time. This situation has to be resolved before anybody's going to let anything else happen, because it's just too confusing. It's too undocumented. Okay.
Well, how do you go about documenting what's not your life?
Well, I understand that, and how you go about that is you have to look at what exists today. For instance, you own the parcel, or somebody in your family owns that little corner there. Well, you're just going to have to create an easement for yourself through that piece. I mean, I'm getting into the area of giving advice, which I'm not supposed to do, but I'm just telling you as a practical matter, there is a way to solve this. It's probably not cheap and easy by just saying, oh, well, just let it go because it's always been that way. I get that feeling 100%. But, you know, the players are going to change. These people are going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Somebody else is going to own this property. And then nobody will be left who remembered how things got to be the way they are. Where they are. And it'll be an even bigger mess then than it is now. So the way that these things get taken care of is whenever somebody wants to do something, because I guarantee you we'd be having this same discussion if that gentleman were up here wanting to subdivide his property, okay? We'd be having this very same discussion. So, you know, that's the issue that we're all kind of stuck with, because the people who went before us didn't do the right thing. We can't do anything about that now, you know, but we're all stuck with having to fix it.
And also, it's a marker across the road, which is part of my marker that goes across that road,
mm-hmm.
and then it go want the slant back up. So if my marker's going across the road before it go into the slant, how is that his land? I'm totally confused.
Yeah, I understand. I am too. And it's the kind of thing that is probably only going to be resolved by, resurveying the property and figuring out what's really there, who really owns what, where the markers really are, because a lot of times people say they think they know where their property line is, but they find out that it's somewhere else, you know, and it's just a mess. I agree with you. It's just a mess.
I was just wondering, because I know my marker go across the
I understand.
Lane.
And he's
looking at the marker.
And all you're trying to do is create a lot. I get it.
Yeah, he's
I
looking
know.
At the marker for the car lines where they okay. start at and go up, but he's not looking at the marker that's actually across the lane.
Right. I understand. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. You may say one more thing.
What? It'd be helpful to you and to us. Mr. Whitehouse, can you put the survey up on the screen? We keep looking at the picture, not the survey.
Yeah. Also, based on what she said, it's
blow
possible
it up
that
so that's
the extension of the lane
property.
Crosses her property.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to see is where that.
Go up a little more. They're down, whatever, so you get, yeah, right. See, the thing is, it starts out on that triangle on the very bottom on her family's property and then cuts onto the gentleman's property below it. And I think part of the issue is that where that road is plotted may not exactly be where it exists physically on the ground, you know. But what we need to look at, and I appreciate the information that's been provided because we didn't have this last time
right.
around, is what all these surveys and deeds show. Because there may be a way to get this resolved. Maybe not. I don't know, but we need to look at
the road is plotted correctly. That is where the road is, as just shown. But I did want to point out, Mrs. Brown already has an existing entrance. And if may I walk over here? And
yeah, sure. Please do. Yeah, help us out.
The daughter's lot here is going to have access through her existing entrance.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a new one. Well, she's been allowed to have this entrance and access. You're saying that now she may not because of some legal point?
I'm saying that there isn't anything that nobody's presented anything that shows us a legal easement, a recorded easement for that. I'm not denying, and I'm if what you're saying is true, you can probably get it done just because what's that? There's a rule.
Well, but this
if you use something
at.
Long enough, you're allowed
yeah,
to use it.
Easement.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Wheeler, there's also the deed that Mr. Miller provided that specifically has an easement.
But the question is, where does the easement start and stop?
Well, it's as Mr. Miller said, it's to at least the Seaford Construction property.
Which is where? Show me.
It's the bottom. Well, originally it was the bottom.
The sea. That's.
But it has to go further than that, otherwise it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Started here.
Yeah. Right.
Originally.
Right.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything that, in writing anywhere, that extended it beyond that mark.
I don't know that. I don't want to say that.
That's the question. And nobody, put it this way, nobody's shown us anything.
Right.
And if that exists, I mean, that would be very important because that would get that easement up to where her current property line is now. Even though prescriptively she's been using it for years, and I get that, and I agree with that. I think it should, if it isn't in writing, it should be put in writing and granted because she's been using it forever. And I don't think the neighbors object to that. What they are objecting to is that if it extends beyond that, you know, giving her access to her property, and then once she's on her property, she can build a road, she can do whatever she wants because it's her property. But their concern, and understandable, is to continuing to use that beyond the area that it was really intended for. Again, that's not hard to understand.
Yeah.
So that's the problem we have here is that. We're, you know, and it looks like, it looks like you're going to have to figure out a way to do that going through the first lot, but that's just my opinion.
There's got to be some sort of easement there, because that's how the poultry farm gets access, and they're further down that road. So, I mean, there is physically, there has to be plotted a road there, you know?
Well, and we don't know what's in the poultry farm's deed, you know? That's the thing. It may, in fact, the poultry farm's deed may show the whole road, you know? And then that might make life easier, I don't know. But that's the issue you've got here, is somebody's got to figure out what's really going on there.
One last.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Whitehouse, can you zoom in on that? Mr. Miller, can you help us with this real quick? Hold on in. Further?
Go ahead.
So we know where the road's at. So basically it's at the 12 degrees, 17, the pin marker there on the corner.
The point of beginning, the POV.
Yeah, the POV.
This beginning of her.
No, down further.
Okay.
Mr. Miller, actually, so that this can work, can you, Mr. Miller, can you go to the other side just so we pick you up on the microphone? Thanks. And also so that everybody can see you.
So we know the lane is on Mr. Kramer's. So if you look at the POV on that corner, there's a little sliver of land there, and this was trying to clarify with Mr. Kramer. Go on up to the next pin. No, to your left. Yep, right there. So right there along that strip is the easement, and then you have the road on Mr. Kramer's land. Who owns that strip on the right side of the lane?
Kramer's own this little
right
piece
there.
Right
yep.
in here.
Yep, yeah. Right there. Or is that just part of the easement?
Well, it is
part of the easement area, it looks like.
Part of the easement, yes. But it's the more or less the right-of-way line of the easement. It's a 25-foot wide easement.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay.
We're good.
Any further questions?
No, it's not.
All right. Anyone else wish to speak? All right, then. We'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.